Well, good morning, Gateway Church family. It truly is a joy once again to come and preach God's word. Before we get started, let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we, as we sang today, we ask that you would speak, that you would mold us, that you would shape us, that you would change us to become more and more like Christ. And would you use me this morning simply as a mouthpiece to faithfully proclaim your truth this morning? May you help us to apply it. May it make sense. May it encourage our hearts to look to Christ in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are all probably looking at the screen, looking at the title, Parenting for Dummies, and I don't want to offend. That's not my goal here. My goal is just to admit that we don't know what we're doing. Without God's word, we are lost. That is why there is that For Dummies series out there, fishing for dummies, reading for dummies, sports for dummies, you name it. It is out there as a guide to help. And we need God's word to help us more than anything this morning. We look to self-help books, podcasts, YouTube vlogs, and Instagram reels. And they're all helpful, especially when they're in line with God's word. But we need to be discerning, don't we? And we need to compare it to God's word to make sure that it is faithful to what God wants us to do. We could be thankful, yeah, absolutely, for all of the parenting books out there and the advice. But this morning, I want to challenge you to hear from God's word. And I pray that God would help us to grow in our parenting. We can think that we're disciplining our kids correctly, but we're breaking them down in their hearts. And if we didn't hurt them physically, we think that our parenting is justified. What are a few tears? It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Dennis preached about life and death that are in the power of the tongue? Well, when we use abusive words and we aren't speaking life to our children, we are using our tongues as weapons instead of encouraging them in the faith. Maybe you are struggling to be patient or to be compassionate, or you're battling anger. Maybe you're prone to yell instead of encourage. But maybe you're on the opposite end. You don't discipline your kids at all, and you are seeing that your child is being defiant and rebellious. I admit that I struggle with all of this. I am not up here today to say that I have got it all together. I need God's word as much as you do. Why? I was not raised in a godly home. And my wife, Yuki, wasn't raised in a godly home either. So by the time me and my wife got married and we had Uriah, our firstborn, we were confused. We were in shock. We didn't know what to do in light of God's word. I had my dad as an example, but he was Presbyterian, if you were to ask him, but he didn't regularly go to church. Instead, he would turn on his TV and watch The Hour of Power. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. Well, it's like a TV church program led by Robert Schuller there in the Crystal Cathedral in L.A. And so that was what was shaping my dad's theology. And my mother, raised Catholic, she tried her best to follow that religion, but she was not devout and she didn't regularly attend Mass. Not that that mattered, but we can see that my parents weren't very consistent in attending church, at least, or bringing me to church. I would go to, like, you know, Christmas services, Easter services, and stuff like that occasionally. And so maybe you're like me this morning. Maybe you weren't raised in a godly home. Or maybe you were, but This is why we are discussing parenting for dummies, because even though I've been a parent for almost 12 years, I'm still learning. I still want to learn from God's word. And I'm sure you know the nature of sheep, don't you? Without their shepherd and his rod and his staff, there is no hope for them. They are lost. They are defenseless without their shepherd. And so what if you're a married couple without children this morning, or a young adult, or an empty nester? God has still replaced responsibility over your life and placed children around you in many different ways. Maybe you have younger siblings. Maybe you teach younger kids at Sunday school. Maybe you're just here this morning, and the kids have obviously gone away, but we were surrounded by them earlier this morning. You might go to picnics. You might go to home groups. And so God has placed this unique way for you in different phases of life to be able to impact the next generation. So don't take that lightly, because even us, we can be like sheep. We are prone to wander. We can rely on our past experiences, our culture, our instincts, or even our family upbringing. But God is calling us through His Word to build your parenting on God's Word. Build your parenting on God's Word. Why? Because there's so much advice out there. There are so many books. There are so many Instagram and TikTok posts that you can read, and we could even observe our grandparents or our parents and the way that they raised us. Some of us either follow the exact way that our parents raised us, or we completely go the opposite way. Like, I don't like the way you raised me, so I'm going to do it another way. And I'm encouraging you this morning to build your parenting on God's Word, because, and if not, if you don't build your foundation on God's Word, I am praying that God would retrofit the foundation of your parenting today. If we want to move past what the world is calling us to do and focus in on God's Word, where do we start? You may be questioning yourself. Well, there are three building blocks. We build our parenting on God's Word, and here are the three building blocks. Train for faithfulness, discipline with love, and aim for the heart. Train for faithfulness, discipline with love, aim for the heart. And beginning with my first point, we train for faithfulness. Looking at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, there it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is a familiar verse I'm sure all of us have heard. And we see here, when we think of training, it is hard work. There is stress, there is tension, there is toil, there is blood, sweat, and tears. It even reminds me of Pastor Rod's sermon when he was going through Proverbs 6. A parent needs to be willing to plow. They cannot be asleep on their bed in their parenting and expect their children to go in the right direction. The word train in Hebrew can also mean dedication and initiation. And as we introduced our preaching through the Proverbs, Solomon is writing to his son, who would eventually become a father as well. And this proverb is specifically calling fathers to be dedicated and take initiation when it comes to disciplining our children. Men, we must take ownership and take this responsibility that God has placed on our shoulders seriously. Both parents absolutely have their roles. They should learn to be a team, but God has placed the responsibility of training and shaping on the fathers. God is looking for fathers to lead families well. And what is an example of this? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. And if we look at this, this is about the covenant of Abraham. It says, "In the midst of God wanting to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God says this, 'For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." So a father is to command and encourage his children by example to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what is right and just in God's eyes. God is entrusting fathers to train sons and daughters in the way they should go. And the second part of this verse is in the Lord's hands. If it is God's will, sons and daughters of a family will not depart from the faith. This is not a guarantee, friends, but it is parental wisdom. It is more about us as parents being faithful to the Lord rather than the guarantee of our children's salvation. Regardless, we as parents need to train our kids because the Lord created them and trusted us to raise them in the fear and admonition of Him. Our duty as parents is just to honor the Lord and be obedient to what God's Word says. And I wanted to share a quote from Paul Tripp in one of his parenting books. And this is what it says. Successful parenting is not about achieving goals that you have no power to produce, but about being a usable and faithful tool in the hands of the one who alone is able to produce good things in your children. So we see that God is the one that's in charge. But may He help us to be a usable and faithful tool in His hands. See, we don't train our kids for guaranteed outcomes. We train them out of our faithfulness to God. We don't train them for guaranteed outcomes. We train them out of our faithfulness to God. Even when we look at the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, which we read earlier this morning, God commands parents to teach them diligently. There it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 9, "And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart." And I just want to emphasize how many times it says "you shall." There in verse 7, "you shall teach them diligently." Verse 8, "you shall bind them as a sign on your hand." 9, "you shall write them on your doorposts." It's a command. You shall do this if you are a godly parent. Training with God's word, it happens at the dinner table. It happens on the car rides on the way over here this morning, road trips to church, at bedtime, at summer camp, at home group. It's a parent's duty to model Christ in every season of life. But where do we find the strength to do that? Many of us struggle because we are trying to parent out of empty tanks. We're running on fumes. But for those of you that were able to attend the vertical marriage conference with Ed Bassard, Dave and Ann Wilson quoted this: "When your vertical relationship with God is right, every horizontal relationship in your life will benefit." When your vertical relationship with God is right, every horizontal relationship in your life will benefit. Friends, your horizontal parenting is affected by whether or not you have a vertical marriage that is empowered by God, and you are seeking God, and you have a relationship with God in the middle of your marriage. When we look to our children or our spouse to make us feel happy or fulfilled, we parent out of expectations, and we probably have quick tempers that aren't in line with God's character. But when our hearts are anchored in Christ, we stop demanding from our children only what God can provide. And so we see that training isn't just about showing our kids the right path. It also requires following through. We train our kids for faithfulness, and we also discipline with love. So out of the faithfulness that we're training our kids, we discipline with love. We read there Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 through 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. So I wanted to emphasize there in the beginning, do not withhold. It's implying that a parent cannot be passive or let disobedience or foolishness just pass them by. Their behavior must be acknowledged and it must be dealt with. And this confronts, you know, the view of what the majority of our culture believes today. Let me give you an example. I was meeting with a coworker of mine in our bistro upstairs at where I work. And I was just talking with them, and he shared with me some of his parenting. He got a divorce, and you know, he shares custody with the mother. And so he just said, I let my daughter do whatever she wants. As long as she turns out to be a good person, that is all that matters. And so this actually brings to mind the unwritten 11th commandment that Vodi Bakum has shared, thou shalt be nice. And isn't that correct? There's a lot of parenting out there where it's just like, be nice at all times. Be their friend. But parents today, why? Because a lot of us are terrified of being labeled as mean by our kids or hearing the words, I hate you. They want to be, and we want to be sometimes, our kids' friends instead of their parents. So what do we do when we want to be their friends and we want to be nice? We withhold discipline. Maybe the reason why is because we can be fearful of what others think or terrified that our kids won't like us. But this is where we must choose to obey God rather than man. Biblical discipline requires us to do the hard work and to follow through no matter how uncomfortable it might make us feel. We follow through with the spanking, the timeouts, the taking away privileges, the uncomfortable conversations for the glory of Christ, because this is the responsibility that He has placed on parents. Loving your child means caring more about their hearts and the condition of their hearts more than whether they approve of you and they like you. More than likely, down the road, they will say, you know, that was kind of harsh or that kind of hurt my feelings in the time, but I am so thankful that you told me the truth and you gave me the discipline that I needed, because now I know how to parent because of your example. We even see a quote from James Dobson from Focus on the Family, and he says this, discipline is not a penalty for past mistakes. It is an investment in the future character. When we withhold discipline because we want our child to be our friend today, we rob them of the wisdom that they need for tomorrow. We rob them of the wisdom that they need for tomorrow. God is calling us to invest in the lives of our children and to care more about providing them with the wisdom that they need in God's Word more than friendship. And so what does discipline actually mean in this proverb? You know, in the Hebrew, which I should know because I'm taking Hebrew right now in seminary, but it means to instruct, admonish. What does admonish mean? Remind, discipline, or correct. Sometimes as parents, we just go straight to the spanking. We don't spare the rod. And we could be overzealous and reactive with the rod, and do it out of anger instead of love. A shepherd in Israel didn't go around beating his sheep with a heavy club. He actually carried two tools, a rod and a staff. Most of day-to-day parenting looks like using the staff, where we're using this, I mean, not literally, but figuratively speaking, it is this long, slender pole that has a curve or a crook on the end of it. Those of you that have gone to Shepherd's Conference know what I'm talking about. That, you know, the logo that they have, that is a staff. And with that staff, a shepherd would use it to gently guide, pull back from straying from the fold, nudge the flock to go in the right direction and stay on the right path. And it also, using the staff in our parenting would mean instruction, daily reminders, our conversations at the dinner table, and gentle encouragement. But the rod is a heavy wooden club used for protection, to ward off the predators, to keep boundaries when a sheep was running off towards a dangerous cliff. So in our parenting, a rod represents the firm corrective discipline when our child is defiant, out of line, or just acting foolish and not following our rules. But as parents, we need godly wisdom to know which tool to use. I know we literally don't have a rod and a staff, but what I'm trying to say is we need to be wise on how we deal with our children. And only God can help us know what to do. Because we can react out of minor slip-ups, like a spilled milk on the floor. And if we use the rod in that situation and we're just short-tempered and acting out of our emotions or anger, we're not shepherding our kids anymore. We are venting out our frustration and taking it out on our children. So if we never use the rod of discipline when rebellion happens, our children will never understand the consequences of their foolishness. So we see here, by God's word, there is a balance with the rod and with the staff. Between the rod and the staff is their what? Their heart. And so we need to be balanced in our approach and our parenting. This is why David writes in Psalm 23, it's not specifically about parenting, but we can learn about this, learn from this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A sheep feels safe and comforted because the shepherd uses the right tool at the right time. May God help us parent our children wisely. One thing we cannot do is ignore their behavior and their heart issues. This is not an option as godly parents. But what does Solomon say in the latter portion of verse 13? If we do use the rod, and when we use the rod, he or she will not die. Solomon is using hyperbole here to remind us that correcting behavior with a rod doesn't destroy the child, but being passive does. Just letting the disobedience and the foolishness slide, that will destroy the child and their future. The tears of discipline are temporary. They might trickle down, but heart transformation lasts forever, and it impacts our children's future and the decisions that they make. So discipline is the bow that we use. You know, when we think of a bow and an arrow, discipline is the bow. And we place our children as arrows on the string. We pull back, we point, we aim, and we release our children towards Christ, the bullseye. Looking at verse 14, there's a question. Is there a guarantee that our children will be saved? That they will be saved from Sheol, also translated as hell. Just because you are parenting them in the right way, you're following God's wisdom, you are not sparing the rod, you are being patient, you are being balanced, does that mean for sure they're going to be saved? No, because they can still have a sinful and rebellious heart when they grow up and move out. I know many of parents sitting here today or just in general in life who have tried their best to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and when their children grew up, they made their own decision. Proverbs are not guarantees. They are descriptive, not prescriptive. It's not, if we take this prescription of Proverbs and we apply it, for sure our children are going to be saved. No, that is not the case. Parents must apply the wisdom that God is providing, even if the outcome is not guaranteed, because it is about our relationship with our God. And we are obedient to Him because He has saved us. and we love to please our God. If we are being faithful and obedient as parents, what should the end goal of our discipline and training be? Well, it should be love and restoration. This is biblical discipline. Let's look at an example in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. If you would like to turn there with me in your Bibles, this is a longer portion of Scripture, and just wanted to read that together. And so there it says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And it was a blessing to read that all with you, a portion of that with all of you this morning during the responsive reading, because it truly shows us, you know, that there is a blessing at the end of discipline. We discipline our children because God disciplines us, doesn't he? It isn't a punishment, it's an act of love designed to produce fruit and righteousness in our lives. And if God disciplines us for good, our discipline of our children must reflect the love and the patience of our God with the goal of restoration. Even in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. An earthly shepherd uses his rod and his staff to protect sheep from wolves and cliffs. But Jesus, our good shepherd, took the rod of God's justice upon himself at the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Because of what Christ did in our place, we should remember that, and we should discipline our children in light of the gospel, and our children should see an attitude of Christ-like humility and sacrifice." Remember, our kids are always looking at us. And so the question is, in those moments, are we truly reflecting Christ? When discipline is rooted in love, it does something deeper than just stopping bad behavior in the moment. It shifts our focus from outward actions to what is really going on in the hearts of our children. That is why we must train for faithfulness, why we must discipline with love and pull back the string on that bow and see the childlike arrows launch as we aim for their hearts. That is my third point. We train for faithfulness, we discipline with love, and we aim for the hearts. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So the rod and reproof give wisdom. Why are there these two words and these two options? Well, there is a balance when it comes to aiming to the heart of our children. We need God's help when it is time to use the rod, and we need to know when it is time to reprove our children, which is warning them. Physical and verbal discipline in our homes must be carried out with patience, self-control, and love, remembering that our children are image bearers. Even reflecting on Albert's sermon there in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, Solomon writes, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." In parenting, if you have a hasty temper and when your kid drops the milk in the kitchen or disobeys you or starts throwing a tantrum on the floor, folly is getting the best of you, not wisdom. Our anger exalts folly, which can mean lack of good sense or judgment in that moment. It makes the situation and the relationship between you and your child worse. And Vodi Bakum has said this before about parenting. If I train my children to obey me only when I am angry, I am training them to disobey until I lose my temper. Biblical discipline requires patient, consistent discipline in love, not angry outbursts. I learned so much from that. You know, what are we training our kids to do? You know, if we're always losing our cool every single time, that's all they know. And so they will push until that limit. How many of you experienced when you're trying to get your child's attention? I've experienced this. It's day in and day out, and they don't respond to your voice until you yell at the fourth time. When we react like that, we're not instructing anymore. We're just barking. Dogs bark when they're agitated. I don't know. I'm sure you have dogs at home or dogs in the neighborhood. They're agitated, startled. They're trying to scare something away. Barking creates all this noise and all of this fear, but it never solves the problem. Dogs bark, but Christian parents are called to patiently instruct. When we react to our child in anger, we're not aiming at their hearts anymore. We are reacting out of our frustration. And so biblical discipline requires us to be slow to anger. It forces us to pause, to breathe, to seek the Lord before you deal with the discipline. The Apostle Paul echoes this in Ephesians 6:4. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When we bark in anger, we're provoking our children. But when we aim for their hearts with patience, we show them their need for a Savior. Do you ever take the time to pause before you speak with your child? Maybe you can deal with discipline at a later time. Like when you're at home. I feel like this works for me. Not all the time. Sometimes it needs to be dealt with here and now. Absolutely. But not all the time. Sometimes I feel that when I deal with discipline at a later time or after I breathe, after I pray, after it's at home, I deal with it in a more gentle way, in a more patient way, because I'm not embarrassed. How many of you might deal with discipline and you have noticed that because people are watching you, you might be more harsh because you're protecting your image? But it's not about us, friends. It's about Christ and it's about their hearts. And so may God help us to know when and how to carry out and follow through with the discipline. Remember, how does God deal with us? I mean, does he deal with us the same way when we are disobedient or straying from him the same way every time? No. Sometimes he lets us go through the long trials to learn something new, and then we can come back to him, and he doesn't turn us away. He welcomes us back with open arms. If God were to beat us down every time, I doubt that we would want to serve him anymore. But because he is patient, he is long-suffering, he is forgiving, he is gracious, we can run to him, his throne of grace, and obtain mercy in the time of need. Why does he deal with us patiently and graciously and kindly? Well, because Christ is our substitute. He paid for the penalty of our sins. And God doesn't just want modified behavior from us. He wants our hearts to be transformed. I don't know if you remember my last sermon in Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Remember, reproof is like that warning light on your dashboard when you're driving. The oil light, the low tread tire pressure light that is blinking or maintenance required. There might be, and so what does this teach us? Well, in parenting, there might be occasions for a verbal warning or a spanking, but there is also timeouts and loss of privileges, like the things they love, toys and video games, hobbies, their favorite book. You just take that thing away. Sometimes I've noticed that when I take away things compared to spanking, some of my kids are just like, "Oh yeah, I'll take the spank. That's fine." But whereas when you take something away, it's like, "Oh." And so you can see that different ways affect our kids differently based on their personalities, right? So may God give us the discernment and help on how to discipline each of the kids that we might have. It might be different for each of them. So may God give us wisdom. So the point is that reproof is like the staff, the shepherd's staff. And the rod of discipline helps children to understand the consequences of their behavior and actions. It exposes their foolishness, but at the end of the day, it is not the cure. What does God ultimately want from his children? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, which is often quoted, I even quoted this in my last sermon, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and your flesh from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." As parents, that our ultimate goal shouldn't be behavior modification. It should be heart transformation. It should be for our children to have salvation and to have the Holy Spirit as a gift. We use reproof to warn our children, discipline to redirect our children, but only God can transform the hearts of our children. So what should we do regarding that? Well, we continue to pray for our children individually and as a church family. The latter part, and then we just move on there to the latter part of this proverb. In verse 15, it says, "A child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Children cannot be left to themselves. I experience this even now with Ivy and Emery. If I'm not keeping an eye on them and they just wander around, especially Ivy, obviously she's a baby. She picks up things that she shouldn't, and Emery is trying to unplug things from the socket and risk getting electrocuted. And if we don't pay attention to our children, we could be making a trip to the ER, honestly. That will be the end result, or maybe something worse. And so we see just from that example that children need instruction. They need guidance. They need boundaries. They need help from their parents. In ancient Israel, the mothers are the ones that carried the daily responsibility of the young children. When children were disobedient, all of the shame, it seemed, fell on the mother. But this wisdom applies to both parents today. Passive parenting brings heartache and shame to the whole family, while intentional discipline hopefully leads to peace. And so there is hope in Christ because of the gospel. Our parenting can change today and grow tomorrow. It's not going to be immediate, but as we see God's word, and it convicts us, and it penetrates our hearts, we can pray and acknowledge, "Lord, I am failing in a lot of areas of my parenting, and I need your help. I'm right there with you. I need God's help in my parenting." There is hope in Christ. Remember that. This is our beauty of our relationship with God. Every day we have a fresh start. We have new grace. We have new mercies. And so that should be an encouragement for us. Correction exposes the sin in our children's hearts, but As we have seen, only God can regenerate and save our children. So where does that leave us as parents when we walk out of these doors this morning? Well, at the beginning of my sermon, I shared about the Four Dummies series, which are supposed to be guides to help us with different tasks and hobbies and things in life. And you just feel lost, so you pick up one of those guides. As parents, as married couples without children, single adults, empty nesters, and grandparents, we can so easily feel like dummies in a world of competing philosophies. But God never left us alone to figure this out on our own, which is why we should build our parenting on God's word. We build our parenting on God's word. We train for faithfulness. We discipline with love. We aim for the heart. Through it all, we cling to Christ and his gospel for fuel in our parenting. And as we conclude, I just wanted to share some encouragements for all of us in the room. Parents, I pray that you would be encouraged that the weight of transforming your child's heart is not on you. Your role is to be a faithful parent and point them to Christ. You can pause and you pray and trust that God is at work, because he is the one that removes the heart of stone and gives them a heart of flesh in his perfect time and in his perfect way. Parents, as well, always be humble enough to ask questions, listen, and consider the wisdom of the older generation in our church family and what they have to share. We shouldn't act like we know it all or our new way of parenting is superior to the old way of parenting. But no, be humble. Ask questions, learn, grow, and share what you're going through that they can pray for you and come alongside of you. Children and youth, know that when your parents set rules to correct you or discipline you, it's not because they want to ruin your life. It's because they love God, and out of that obedience to God, they discipline you, and they love you. And God is using your parents like a shepherd to protect you, to keep you safe, and to guide you down God's straight path. Married couples without children, your home, your lives, and your example is a unique platform for ministry to love, to host, and to pour into the lives of children and young families. Single adults, you play an important role in our church family. The kids sitting in the rows around you, or were sitting around you this morning, in Sunday school and home groups are watching your walk with Christ. Continue to be faithful. And it shows them through your example that Jesus is real, a life with him is beautiful, and it's worth following. Empty nesters and old generations in the room, your parenting years might be behind you, but you're called to disciple and encourage, whether it's your grandchildren or children at our church, it's absolutely vital, and they need it. The young parents, young marrieds, young adults, the youth in our church family need your prayers, your listening ear, your wisdom, and your discipleship. No matter which group you might find yourself in this morning, the hope of the gospel is the same for all of us. Let's continue to use our unique gifts that God has given us and the platforms he has given us, all for the glory of Christ. We cannot think that we can just go home and try harder. Well, no, it's pray harder. It's depend harder. It is trust harder. And God will help us by his Holy Spirit to grow. Once we acknowledge, Lord, I need your help, God is faithful to hear that prayer and help you each step of the way. We're going to fail. We're going to fail today. We're going to fail tomorrow. But may we cling to our good shepherd that comforts us and helps us to be firm, helps us to be balanced, helps us to be tough, helps us to be tender when discipline is needed. Only God can help us to be balanced as we make progress as parents and glorifying Christ in all that we do. Let us close with a scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Let us go before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that you lead us, that you are our good shepherd through Christ, and we can follow you in our parenting, in all that we do. We are not alone, and we pray that you would help us to build our parenting on your word. If we already have been, may you help us to retrofit our foundation if needed, to make the tweaks or to make the improvement that we need to do to glorify you. Lord, we are always learning, we are always growing, and we humbly admit that. That we need you, we haven't arrived. And what a joy it is that you have placed on our shoulders to shepherd and train and disciple children. May we remember that they are in the image of Christ, that the responsibility is not to be taken lightly, and that you would help us, Lord, to not react out of our anger, but to know that there is time for reproof, there is time for the rod. In the right time, in the right way, would you help us to deal with what we need to deal with and to represent Christ, to reflect Christ in all that we do. We truly need you. And would you help Gateway Bible Church as a whole to be on mission together? We need everyone, the body of Christ, to help with this next generation. Whatever it may be, and whenever and however, whether it's opening our homes, whether it is hanging out, whether it is praying for one another, whether it is sharing counsel or past experiences, help us to do that with joy. Help us to press on with joy, and help us to glorify Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.